today. The Sheep Fair returns. Is your car battery ready for winter? A man falls 40 feet in Bernardston. The V for Victory celebration in Forest Park. The Brightside Angel campaign begins. And special guests include Leonard Underwood and his commemorative Massachusetts socks, and Berkshire's author Barbara Newman on her new book, The Dreamcatcher Code.
Pioneer Valley Radio is proud to present another installment of Brad Shepherd today. Here's
Brad Shepherd.
It's Friday in Western Mass, November 5, 2021. How are you? We head into a Pioneer Valley weekend together. Now, I'll survey the happenings of the region. I'll skim across them, and then we'll get to our most interesting guests right after I check the Friday and Saturday weather. Sunny and a high of 48 to 52 today. The winds are north 5 to 10 miles per hour tonight. Mostly clear, a low of 22 to 28. And the outlook for Saturday, sunny, a high of 50 to 54 degrees. Today, Mayor Dominic J. Sarno will attend and bring greetings to the AmeriCorps Opening Day swearing-in celebration at Riverfront Park. AmeriCorps will be swearing in approximately 100 of their members that will be serving in Western Massachusetts this year. Our congratulations goes out to them. The City of Springfield would like to invite the public to join with Mayor Dominic J. Sarno, Congressman Neal, for a special V for Victory dedication ceremony to pay tribute to the original V for Victory planting at Forest Park. The City of Springfield dedicated the V for Victory landmark in Forest Park by using discarded Christmas trees to form a huge Victory V on the far side of Porter Lake. The V for Victory campaign was started in Belgium in early 1941 against Nazi occupation. Is your car battery ready for winter? Well, AAA says car battery replacements increase during the winter months and the average life of a battery in the Northeast about 5 years. After 3 years, it could fail at any time, so it is important to have it checked annually. In temperatures below freezing, your battery loses about 35% or more of its capacity, and your car demands about 50% more energy to run. Driving your car for 30 minutes every few days is enough to keep your battery charged. The Massachusetts Sheep and Woolcraft Fair is pleased to announce that it will be returning May 28th through the 29th of 2022 after a two-year hiatus due to the pandemic. Now, while 2022 will be a rebuilding year for the event, the committee believes it will lead to more successful years of the annual event in the future, and they certainly hope to see you there. Bernardston Police and Fire Departments were dispatched to River Street near Church Street, where an individual working outside was reportedly down on the ground. Officers on the scene found that the man had fallen on the other side of the guardrail and had fallen approximately 40 to 45 feet down a near vertical embankment. He couldn't move, and while partially in the frigid Fall River, two members of the Bernardston Fire Department rappelled down to the victim to stabilize him. All emergency responders worked together to safely remove the man with no further injuries. Harrowing experience. I have no info at this point as to the man's condition. Now, the Brightside Angel campaign has been a local holiday tradition for the past 41 years, offering gifts with special meaning. And all the proceeds from the annual campaign directly benefit those served by the programs and services of Brightside for families and children each year. Brightside serves more than 500 children, their siblings, and their families in their homes and schools with in-home and virtual counseling and family support. Now, in addition to the traditional paper Brightside Angels, a ceramic Brightside Angel ornament will also be available this year. The paper angels can be purchased at all 31 Pride stores throughout our area, and both the paper and ceramic angels can be purchased online as well. You can find them at give.mercycares.com/brightsideangels. I'll repeat that. give.mercycares.com/brightsideangels.
Capturing some attention of late are these wonderfully commemorative socks. I'm going to call them that. Maybe there's a better word for them. Depicting all sorts of things significant of Massachusetts, the state fruit, the state this, the state that. And the man behind them is a gentleman by the name of Leonard Underwood, who is my very special guest right now. Lenny, welcome to Pioneer Valley Radio.
Thank you so much for having me, Brad.
My pleasure. What are these socks called, Lenny? What's the name for them?
Well, right now they're called Massachusetts socks, but I actually have a contest going on through November 14th. If someone visits my website, they can enter the contest to win a pair of socks if they are selected as the winner. So there's no official name right now.
Okay. What's the website so that we can get people to take a look?
Sure. It's upscalesocks.com.
How would you describe these socks that are getting all this attention, Lenny?
I would say they're very eclectic. You know, I had the idea about a year and a half ago, and I shared it with Senator Lester and some other members of the community and got some feedback on how I should proceed forward with color scheme and possibly some other items that would be a little reflection on not just Massachusetts as a whole, but especially Western Mass. So you'll find a basketball and the Mayflower, which is the state flower, the cranberry, which is the state fruit, as well as some mountains, and there's a lighthouse and a couple other items. So hope it represents the state well, and people have been getting some buzz for the last few days.
So these are the images that are woven into the socks. Are the socks coming in a variety of different colors and sizes, or what's the deal?
So for now, there's one design for the Massachusetts sock, but I do have a City of First sock, which is for Springfield. They come in two different variations as well. I had a press conference for those 2 years ago with the City of Springfield's Mayor Sarno. And then I have a New England sock, to close out that collection of a nod on where I'm from or the area.
What's the background for this, Lenny? What led you to creating and designing socks?
So I had a dream summer of 2014 one night that I owned a sock line, and I woke up the next morning, told a friend about it. We both thought it was a great idea, but neither of us ever worked in retail before. So for a whole year, I toiled with the idea of getting started and how to pursue this dream, but wasn't getting anywhere with any support and direction. So the following year, I pursued a program out of Holyoke. At the time, it was called Spark Holyoke. Now it's called E4All. And that gave me more confidence and I would say focus to pursue it further. Not necessarily the answers I needed for manufacturing and marketing and creating an actual product, but just really direction and I guess help with data on the community and individuals that purchase socks. So after that, it took another year for actually to materialize, if you will. I officially launched December 2016. And so it'll be 5 years in December. We have over 80 styles available for adults and a few styles for children, and we'll be continuing to grow that collection in the new year.
Are you going to get into any other areas of customized ties or anything like that, or is it just going to be socks?
I have been thinking about other forms of accessories, possibly pocket squares. I really like cufflinks, so possibly cufflinks. But I think I'm going to stay in that family for now. And I believe it or not, there's so many ways to pursue socks. And I've also thought about leggings for women or stockings. So there's a lot of possibilities and more collaborations to be had in the future. I'm also writing a book, too.
Oh, you are. We'll talk about that in a second. It's very interesting you said what you just said a moment ago, because personally, I'm not much of a jewelry guy, with a couple of exceptions. I like watches, I like pens, and I love cufflinks. I love cufflinks. So if you get into designing some cufflinks, I want to know about it.
Yeah, so yeah, I'll be sure to let you know.
Now, you're doing a book. Tell me about the book.
Yeah, so I've been an entrepreneur for all of my adult life since college and even before I was, I'm still a photographer full time, but I was pursuing photography as a hobby. And I think if I had the support or those around me that said I can do anything in the business world at a young age, then I would have pursued it even earlier, I would think. So the book is for children to teach them more about entrepreneurship and, to turn their passion into a paycheck, if you will, and to, you know, go all in with whatever they have to offer.
That's wonderful. Now, I know I have my opinion about how your socks are being received. Why don't you tell me how they're really being received? Are they moving? Are people really into them?
They are, absolutely. Of course, this past week with the City of First and the Massachusetts yeah. Sock and others, and a large quantity of the customers have been purchasing for the holidays, so it came at a really good time as well. And they're also available in stores in Massachusetts and neighboring states, New Jersey, North Carolina, and there might be another state, but most of the locations are located on my website where you can find where we're.
Yeah, I was just thinking to myself. I was just thinking to myself, Lenny, that you really, your timing is excellent because these would make a wonderful Christmas gift. I know people try so hard for the holidays to find something unique to give to friends, family, loved ones. I think this would really fit that.
Yeah, so far, the last few Christmases, that's been the case. And actually, when I launched the business in 2016, it was about 10 days before Christmas, and people came, over 200 attendees attended the party, and that was the feedback, you know, thank you, great stocking stuffers, and, you know, we'll just continue to keep this going. And I would encourage those that are interested in purchasing, do so maybe early on, because you never know what may happen if, you know, items end up being sold out, especially with this supply chain issue that we've been faced with. I don't know, you know, how soon I could get new, you know, more stock in.
Right. Well, I must say that I'm always a huge fan and supporter of these kinds of original and fun ideas that one individual comes up with and creates in his own cottage business, and it takes off and becomes something fun. So congratulations to you, Lenny, and I want to encourage everybody hearing this conversation to go to your website and check out the socks and the other merch. Let's give them that website address again.
Sure, www.upscalesocks.com.
Fabulous. Leonard Underwood, it has been a pleasure to have you with us on Pioneer Valley Radio, and I wish you all continued success.
Yeah, thank you so much for your time today, and hopefully we can meet in the future.
This is the time of year, unlike the beach, when we're still looking for a good read, maybe to curl up with whatever your heat source is at home to stay nice and warm. You're looking for something to read. May I recommend The Dream Catcher Code? And we'll find out a little bit about this new book from its author, our special guest, Barbara Newman. Barbara, welcome to Pioneer Valley Radio.
Thank you so much for having me, Brad.
Our pleasure. So you're ensconced in the Berkshires.
Yes, yes. I live in New Marlborough, a beautiful little hamlet, and have been here for 23 years. And it inspires me every day. The beauty of it inspires me. Yeah, it's just.
I want to find out what inspired the book in a moment. But first, I want to just set the table. And without giving anything away, no spoilers or anything like that, why don't you tell the folks exactly what The Dream Catcher Code is about?
Okay. So it's a young adult novel. It's an eco-fantasy. Yeah. So it takes two of the things I'm really passionate about, which is girls' leadership and the environment, and it puts it together in one epic story. So in this story, four girls come together from the four directions, and they're powered by earth, air, fire, water, and messages from a magical dream catcher. And they are on a quest to find the missing piece of a crystal horseshoe that holds the codes of nature and is the key to the planet's survival.
my goodness.
Lots of world building in this book, but also, I mean, it's a really fun adventure. I mean, it's serious, but it's hopeful at the same time. And it's sort of like, you know, Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants meets Avatar, you know?
Yeah. Well, you kind of touched on this, but let's flesh this out a little bit. What was the inspiration? What inspired you to create this book?
Oh, wow. Okay, so I had been working in New York, and I heard, funny enough, I heard an interview on NPR with the director of the National Cowgirl Museum and Hall of Fame in Fort Worth, Texas. And they were talking about these strong, incredible women who shaped the history of our country. And I'm like, wait a minute, there are cowgirls? You know, there's a museum about cowgirls. How come I don't know about that? I was very, very intrigued. And as I listened to this interview, I fell in love with cowgirl spirit. So much so that I got on a plane the following week and I went to the museum and I was in their archives and sitting with their director. And I said, you know, is there a like documentary? An overarching documentary that talks about the history of the American cowgirl and what they have done to shape this country in art, music, fashion, you know, of course, ranching and rodeo and politics and all of the things that they have touched that we all see. And she said, no, there really hasn't. So I spoke to my sister-in-law, who's a Emmy Award-winning editor, film editor, and about 2 months later, I was in Montana filming my first interview with Barbara Van Cleef, who is a well-known international photographer and who lived on this beautiful ranch in Montana, and that was it. So from there, I went on to Wyoming and Texas and California and really traveled throughout the Southwest and the West to capture stories of these courageous, bold, really, really strong women. And so that project was put on hold, and my mom passed, like pretty much around the same time, and I just needed to know what my next thing was. I needed to know my next. And I dreamt this book. I literally had a dream that I was standing in the desert with an animal skin on my back and mountains in the background, purple in the horizon, and this sherbet-colored sunset sky. And I'm standing literally in the sand in the logo of the Cowgirls of Forever film project. And the wind comes, and it whips it around and it spirals up and comes down into another form, in the form of a book. And I was, yeah. So like it was detaching, you know, it's, you know, all about, you know, the monks painstakingly, you know, create this beautiful piece of art. And when they're finished, they blow it away. Mm. Right. So. Well, it's sort of what happened here, and then I visions came to me of girls and horses and eagle feathers, and that was that.
I don't think there's any way you could ignore or be indifferent to a calling like that, Barbara.
No, and it was a calling, and this book is my love letter to Mother Earth and all of her daughters. I have a daughter of my own, and I wanted her to embody strength. And when I, you know, first learned about the cowgirl, you know, and they talk about saddling your own horse, it's like, yeah, you know what? I want her to saddle hers. I want her friends to saddle theirs. And I want to saddle mine whether I ride one or not. So part of cowgirl spirit is captured in this book, but these girls are not cowgirl superheroes. They're ordinary girls doing extraordinary things.
So we have kind of a fascinating and compelling adventure fantasy here all rolled up into this particular book. Would that be a fair way to characterize?
Yes. Yes. A lot of world building And a lot of travel, actually, on my part to really, I mean, if I was going to write about the land, I really had to know it. So I did some real, I did a lot of things that were outside of my comfort zone, like, you know, go on a pretty much solo hike with a cowgirl friend of mine who, in the high desert in Arizona, where we slept under the stars without a tent.
Oh my God, it's remarkable.
It was, yeah, I mean, it was remarkable. And for a city girl like me, I mean, that's a pretty remarkable thing. And I had never done it. And, you know, you can taste the Milky Way. You know,
I love that.
You can really, and it's not a candy bar.
No, I would hold out for a bit of honey anyway, but that's another conversation.
Yeah, but you can really taste the Milky Way. And I, you know, it was a hard hike. It was bouldering and cactus and rattlesnakes and scorpions. And I really had to face my fears. And I learned about, you know, as an observer, you learn about the cycles and the moon and all of the things that are in this book, because it is about the environment. This book
sounds
is
like
about
you,
Mother Earth. Yeah.
Barbara, it sounds like you inadvertently plunged yourself into a survival test or survival development as a result.
Well, I did, because these girls go on a quest and it's dangerous,
you know,
and they've got to face their fears. So how can I write about it if I don't know what that's like?
Barbara, where is the book available?
Book is available you can go to my bookshop, Indie, local bookstores, Barnes & Noble, of course, Amazon, I hate to say, but, you know, it is. it's available everywhere, and there's also an audiobook, which is really nice to have as well. I mean, that was a wonderful project to produce, you know, as I'm sure you can imagine. I want to get this book out there into the world because it is my hope that my reader will see the natural world through new eyes and be so inspired by what they see, like the sacred geometry in a zinnia, you know, or the nautilus pattern in a shell, you know, the spiral, and being so inspired that they are compelled to become stewards of our environment.
Well, we've been talking from the Berkshires with author Barbara Newman, the author of a book entitled The Dream Catcher Code. Certainly a unique and compelling fusion of different styles, and I think it would be a read that anybody would enjoy and should. Barbara, thank you for being with us on Pioneer Valley Radio.
Thank you so much, Brad. It was a pleasure.
Well, I hope you've had a good week. And I hope you have a great weekend. If you're not working and you're kicking back a little bit, enjoy the fall weather. Be safe, be warm, enjoy. And meet me here on Monday for our next new and fresh program up online at 6 a.m. and available to you throughout the day on demand here at Pioneer Valley Radio. I'm Brad Shepherd. We'll talk again.
The proceeding was a presentation of Pioneer Valley Radio. Copyright
2021.
All rights reserved.